Meatloaf?
Yes, how are you?
Good, how are you? I haven't talked to you for a while.
Well, now we're talking again.
Yeah, welcome to back to the program on PNP Network. We have with us Meatloaf, one of the greatest selling record guys ever. And Bat Outta Hell is one of the ones that belongs in my collection.
Yeah, and I always say that and $2.50 will get you a cup of coffee at Starbucks.
Oh, no, I'm not buying that one.
No, but if you go to some other places, you can get just as good a coffee for a lot less.
Well,
in today's thing, you know, I won't mention the ones that I don't like, but there is ones that I do like that are cheaper.
Well, I will only say this, Meat, that self-deprecating humor is great, but you have sold hundreds of millions of records, and I'm one of the ones who bought a lot of them, so I congratulate you.
We have sold over 100 million records.
Yes.
It feels really weird when you say that. I mean, it does. I got news for you. It feels really strange. You know, most artists go, yeah, I've sold blah, blah, blah. But when I say it, I'm hesitant. It's like, you know, it's like, yeah, I've done that.
Well, when Marvin was born in 1947, and he was like 10 years old in 57, I'm sure that Marvin Lee never thought of anything like the phenomenon that Meatloaf became.
No, you know what? And not many people have called me Marvin and lived through it. just you're too far away for me to punch on the arm, because I would punch you. Anyway, I'm just kidding. But that was not a name that anybody ever called me. I've been called Meat. My dad started calling me Meat when I was a baby. My mother called me ML. So the kids or the teachers in school either call me ML or Meat. And I had some teachers who actually would call me Meat. Mostly it was the PE teachers. And believe it or not, it was the PE teachers and the science teachers.
Really?
Yeah, the history teachers and English teachers, not a prayer. Social studies, not a prayer.
Wow.
But as you got older and you really got into biology and chemistry and those teachers would call me Meat, maybe it was because they thought I was so stupid in their class that I deserved to be called Meat.
Well,
I'm not sure.
I got to tell you that I have a ton of folks who wanted to ask you questions, and I have them all here.
Okay, go ahead.
And I want to talk about Guilty Pleasure. We will talk about that DVD.
I like
Chad Rock writes in and says that he loved your work in Fight Club and wants to know when you're going to be doing another movie.
I just finished one. I finished one last Friday. I was up in Parry Sound, Ontario. And then we moved to North Bay, Ontario, where this summer, I didn't want all the people in North Bay to know I was back in there. This summer, we were getting ready to go on stage, and a big storm came in and was blowing 500-pound speaker stacks over and blew the roof off. And we were, I don't know, what, 50 minutes from going on?
Wow.
And the sun had been out all day, and it was a beautiful day. And this storm came in, and the police, I mean, there was lightning everywhere. And they rushed me out of my trailer because the stage was collapsing, and it was because it was an outdoor show. There was about 14,000-15,000 people there, and I had a woman get really mad at me because if I cared so much about the fans, why didn't I set up an autograph session? I was going, okay, yeah, right. The police are screaming at me to get out of my trailer. I've got $5,000 guitars breaking. They're just pulling my monitor guy away from a 500-pound speaker falling on him, and this woman's giving me a hard time for not putting together a 16,000 people autograph session.
All right, we're going to go right to the next question because
okay,
we have so many here to ask you. Peg Carbone says, I love your music. However, I hear you're a vegetarian. What's up with that?
No, it's not true. I was a vegetarian for 11 years. And it was fine. I'm getting closer and closer to going back to a vegetarian, as I've really basically stopped eating red meat, and I have chicken every once in a while, but mostly I try to eat fish.
I think you gotta find out that
really close.
You gotta find out that vegetables are bad for you. I'm an advocate against vegetables because I don't like vegetables. So.
Oh well, then so. You don't know what you're missing.
All right, here's another one from Mary Beth Ostrowski-Nirin. She says, you've been through so much in your career, TV, movies, music, and a personal life. If you could do it all over again, what year would you start over and why?
I wouldn't. The only thing that I would try to change is the fact that my parents died when I was young. That would be my only thing, is that because I get, you know, I'm really jealous of, I really have to tell you this, I'm really jealous of people, you know, that are my age or even, you know, a little younger, and they're able to, their parents come around and they're able to talk to their parents. And my mother died when I was 1966, so I wasn't very old.
Yeah, yeah,
and
my dad died
in 71. So I would change nothing about my career. Absolutely nothing. Every decision that I have made here has been the correct decision, whether it turned out good or bad. It's the correct decision, because I don't believe you can ever make a wrong decision. I believe if it doesn't turn out the way you wanted it, you learn from that mistake.
And now Derek and Michael and Chad all wrote that they loved your work in the Fight Club. Derek also liked the Squeeze. And they loved you in those parts.
Yeah, the one I just finished, Stage Fright, is my, you know, like you said, I've sold over 100 million records. I'm working on 100 films. I just finished my 59th film appearance. Some of them have been like 4 seconds long, like Wayne's World was maybe a minute and a half. But I was there.
Yep.
And that counts.
It does.
So I'm working on 100 and... I have a friend of mine that has appeared in 141 named Bruce McGill and a couple other character actors that have appeared in a lot. But I'm working on 100 films. So I've got 100 million records. I need 100 films.
I think that's going to happen. A bunch of people, Sharon Lickman and a bunch of other people, asked about the Rocky Horror Picture Show. They wanted to know about the experience and if you're still in touch with any of the cast.
Well, anytime that you can watch Susan Sarandon run around in a bra and panties in 1973 when it was a wonderful experience. overall, it was an incredible experience because I became friends with Lil Nell and Pat Quinn and Richard and Tim. I still see Tim every once in a while, and I see, and Barry and I it trade emails. I just got one from him about 2 weeks ago. And Barry and I did Glee together, and for some reason I always seem to run into Susan on airplanes, going back and forth. Well, now I've moved out of L.A., but when I was living in L.A., going back and forth to New York, I run into Susan Sarandon and Sharon Stone all the time.
Hmm.
I don't know what that means.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you ask Meatloaf? This is from Chris Darpino. Can you ask Meatloaf about his time on Apprentice? Ask what he thought of some of the players. He was awesome on that show. Would love to hear his thoughts.
They asked me to do the celebrity one, and I said no. My thoughts on that was I didn't actually know I was doing it until I was shooting a film in South Carolina, and I never answered my cell phone. I picked it up, and it was a guy named Chuck LaBella, who... is a friend, and he does a lot of TV casting of these reality shows. And he called me up and said, look, they want you to do, they'd already asked me in prior years, would you do Celebrity Apprentice? And he called me up and said, they want you to do Celebrity Apprentice. And I said, okay, call me back. And he took the okay as an okay, and I never heard from him. And the next thing you know, it's in the paper.
Wow.
So I just said, okay, well, I'll just go. I didn't go to play the game. I just went to not get voted out first. And I went to just, because I used to watch it, and I didn't watch this year. and I didn't watch the one that I was on. I couldn't watch it. And but I used to watch. I watched the one with from Poison, Bret Michaels.
Yep.
And that he won, and it used to drive me crazy how stupid their commercials were. And I said, if I ever get the opportunity to do that, those commercials will be a lot better. And they were.
Okay. All right. Next question for the meet. Have you ever resided in Massachusetts?
No. My daughter went to college in Amherst in Boston.
Okay. Now let's talk about this DVD. It's excellent. It's called Guilty Pleasure Tour, and it actually was recorded in Australia.
It was recorded in Sydney. We've been trying to get it organized to record it. I wanted to record it in the arena in Connecticut, and we just couldn't. By the time we got it organized, we were on our way to Australia. So somebody said, let's just do it in Australia. And so we looked and we said, well, let's do it in Sydney. And because we'd done one in Melbourne, and that had done well, so we decided we'd do one in Sydney. Australia has always been very good for me. Anything for Love broke out of Australia, Took the Words broke out of Australia, and so we just decided we'll do one in Sydney.
Now, if you like the music of Meatloaf, and who doesn't? I'm a huge Meatloaf fan. There's also an interview in here, a 35-minute documentary. It's also included in the DVD.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's really good.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So now, do you know where folks can pick this up? I assume it's pretty much everywhere.
Yep. I just know that people have said that. Like, a lot of people only know me for Bad Out of Hell, but if you knew Henkel Teddy Bear or, do we do anything from, Stand in the Storm, from Hell in a Handbasket, I've just read a few different reviews, and they have said, and I love when they say this, that the song Peace on Earth, that I sing it better than, and basically, I'm trying to think, about 85% of the vocals are live. We had some problems with the recording, and we had some distortion going on that we don't know how it happened, but it did. But I think that complete vocal is live. And they said it's better than the album, and I just, whenever I get a chance, you know, when somebody says that, that's like the greatest thing you can ever hear, is that a live vocal is better than an album vocal.
Yeah.
Of course, people like Janis Joplin and Joe Cocker did that all the time.
Exactly. Well, I tell you, it's very, very good, and people out there, if you're a Meatloaf fan, you got to get this DVD, Guilty Pleasure Tour. Now, I understand you also have a new CD out, if you're relatively new. I have not heard it, unfortunately.
Oh, Hell in a Handbasket, yeah.
Yeah.
It's really, I'll tell you where I got the idea. I got it from Network, where I can't remember the actor's name, and it's driving me crazy. I got to go look it up on IMDb.
He said, I'm mad as hell and I can't take it anymore?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what the album is based on, that line.
Hmm.
And the fact that everybody always, when I grew up, everybody used to say, because I'm originally from Texas, so had that southern accent, well, the world's going to hell in a handbasket.
So did you write this thing yourself, or did Jim write it?
I have written on every album. A lot of the stuff I don't take credit for, because I don't think I write enough of it to take credit. On Henkel Teddy Bear, I wrote enough of the stuff on there that I do take credit, and I may take credit for one part credit for one thing but I change and write everything, because I don't just, you know, it's not like I watched Nashville last night and it's. It was so, like, it was so true. It rang so true.
You're talking about the Robert Altman film?
No, there's a new television series called Nashville.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Oh, it came out. It was premiered last night.
Oh, okay.
And it was like listening to them, and it was like living my day. It's like what goes on in my day. The only difference is I don't have some catty, male singer, after me. I mean, they had to build the tension and the conflict, mm-hmm. but I got enough conflict.
I know that that you have a bunch of other interviews to do, so I'd love to talk to you for an hour, but they won't let me.
Oh, you could, too, and I...
They won't let me.
Believe me, my Indian name is never shuts up.
That's okay. I enjoy interviewing you. We've talked a few times already, and I look forward to
but
the next
Helena
time.
Helena Handbasket, let me just tell you about Helena Handbasket real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Helena Handbasket is the only album that's ever... I've put everything through me, as opposed to finding a character that's in Bat Out of Hell... or finding the characters in Dead Ringer, or finding the characters in Anything for Love, or any of those songs, they all are character-driven. Hell in a Handbasket is how I feel. And it's really based on the theory that the world is going to hell in a handbasket, and the reason is because of fear. And I put on California Dreamin', and everybody kept going, well, why, and I'm going, yes, it is. I said, California Dreaming is nothing but a metaphor for this guy's fear of failure. And I got Lou Adler and Michelle Phillips to write quotes about this version of California Dreaming. And Lou Adler's quote was, Meatloaf finally gave California Dreaming the version that it has always deserved. And Michelle Phillips wrote something about, this is what John had in mind. I can't remember exactly what she wrote.
Wow.
And I didn't ever realize. I just thought it was a nice pop song. And all of a sudden, for some reason, I heard it. And I turned to Paul Crook, who was producing, and said, I want to do California Dreaming. He said, California Dreaming? I went, yeah, go listen to it. And it's really what it's about. And there are some political things.
Well,
but I don't get off into, Republican, Democratic kind of things. I get it in broad strokes politically.
Hmm. Well, I can't wait to hear this thing. I wish that someone had sent it to me so I could listen to it.
Yeah. Well, we'll get somebody to send it to you.
That would be good.
Okay.
But it's great to talk to you, mate,
bye.
And good luck with everything.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you.